Senate Special Committee on Budget, the Public Safety Subcommittee for Tuesday, July 12, 2005. We are in work session on three measures, Senate Bill 907-A, Senate Bill 5630, and House Bill 3124-B. Before we begin with House Bill 3124-B, which is relating to court fees, I want to ask members to be sure to have your microphone directly in front of you. Please speak loudly, clearly. We get complaints sometimes about the volume, the sound that comes out of this room, and again, the decisions that we're making. We want to make sure people hear those decisions and hear our discussion. I also want to say, and I should have said it first, welcome to Senator Winters. It's just always, it's so good to see you and to have the full complement of folk on this subcommittee.
Well, it's really good to be here with you and my good senator from, I almost said right, but left.
Well, I do notice when Senator Winters comes that the committee tends to move more towards the left than to the right.
And we think we'll just move right
along. Just move.
Again, welcome, Senator Winters. Mr. Borden, would you please walk us through House Bill 3124?
Good afternoon, Chair Gordley and members of the committee. HB 3124B pertains to extending the sunset on certain surcharges on court filing fees. The handout before you, you should have preliminary staff measure summary, fiscal impact, the staff measure summary from the House Budget Committee, as well as a staff measure summary from HB 2304 and HB 2304's fiscal impact, which is included in HB 3124. The measure comes to the subcommittee from the House, which passed out the measure with 56 aye votes, 2 no votes, 1 absence, and 1 excused on June 30th, 2005. The measure was referred from the President's desk to the Budget Committee. There are no amendments. The summary of the measure generates additional revenue from court filing fees and surcharges. Net revenues are deposited into the state's general fund after deduction of an Oregon Judicial Department administrative collection fee. These filing fees and surcharge monies these filing fee and surcharge monies deposited to the general fund apply only to the state's circuit and appellate courts. There are three primary provisions. The measure delays the effective date of the approximate 10% base filing fee increase from Chapter 737 Oregon Law 2003 from July 1, 2005 to January 1, 2007. It extends the temporary fees or surcharges authorized by that same chapter law that were originally to sunset on June 30th, 2005 to December 31st, 2006. And the revenue generated from the 30% filing fee surcharge would now be directed to the state's general fund rather than the Oregon Judicial Department's operating account, as was the case in the last biennium. The fiscal impact: the measure is expected to generate gross general fund revenue of $5.7 million for the 2005-07 biennium. Oregon Judicial Department collection account revenues for the same period are estimated at $311,358. The measure also includes one important provision, and that is, it includes House Bill 2304, which relates to fees of writs or execution of garnishment. And that measure raised fees charged by circuit courts for issuance of either a writ of execution or garnishment, the fees for each would raise from $4 to $7 or 75%. The one note that Legislative Fiscal Office would make is that there is a timing issue associated with this measure, and that for each month that lapses that this measure is not signed into law, there's a loss to the state's general fund of approximately $200,000.
Thank you, Mr. Borden. Are there questions or comments for Mr. Borden?
No questions.
Senator Devlin?
Are you ready for a motion?
Yes.
Madam Chair, move HB 3124B to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Objection? I should say discussion. Objection. All right. Our motion is adopted. I will carry this. Oh, let me back up. Senator Winters, would you like to carry this?
No,
we'll have Senator Winters carry. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Borden. And we are now hearing Senate Bill 907-A, and we are still in work session. Mr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, I just passed out a memo which actually addresses both Senate Bill 907 and its companion budget bill, Senate Bill 5630. This is one half of the meth package. The meth package, I'll use the term meth because it's easier to say. The meth package was put together by a work group made up of two senators, Senator Burdick, who I believe is here, and Senator Beyer, and two representatives, Krieger and McPherson. They worked throughout the session in gathering many bills, prioritizing their work, and putting together this package that you find in Senate Bill 907 in front of you, as well as House Bill 2085, which will be heard on the House side later this week, most likely Friday morning. The two bills together complete the are the meth package that have been put together by judiciary committees. Major provisions that I've listed in the bullets on the memo, they create or modify a number of crimes relating to manufacturing, possession, distribution of meth, precursors, and other materials used in manufacturing meth. Create or modify crimes to relating to child neglect or dependent mistreatment. When those folks are exposed to meth labs or the products of meth labs, they establish a grant program through the Criminal Justice Commission to create a new drug court or expand the capacity of current drug courts. Resources are added to the District Attorney Assist Program at the Department of Justice, as well as for the Department of Corrections Alternative Incarceration Addictions Program, expands the crimes of arsons 1 and 2 to include fires and explosions resulting from manufacturing of meth, requires the Board of Pharmacy to adopt rules to classify certain drugs, including pseudoephedrine, as Schedule 3 drugs, which requires then a written prescription, and authorizes the Department of Human Services to terminate the food stamp benefits for specific actions relating to meth or delivery of meth, or manufacturing of meth or delivery of meth. There are other provisions in the bill. I've included the staff measure summaries in the packet for both of the bills, but please keep in mind what you have in front of you today is only Senate Bill 907. The work group put together a sort of a set of priorities, which was helpful to the co-chairs in figuring out what things to fund. Fortunately, there were sufficient resources to fund most, if not all, of the major items that they had requested as part of their Tier 1, 2, and 3 priorities. There's a table that I'd like to go through right now toward the back of the packet, which shows where the funds are going in both bills. Again, the middle column there shows which bill it is in. I should note that based on a conversation with Ledge Council, they suggested that we run a separate budget bill instead of trying to put all the budgets in the policy bills in front of you. They were concerned about the relating clause and other factors. So Senate Bill 5630 is connected to Senate Bill 907, which is in front of you today, and there's a companion bill to House Bill 2485, which will be in the House. So there were $7.1 million identified by the co-chairs for the meth package, and we are recommending that these be distributed in the following ways, of which, you know, half are in this bill and half are in the House companion bill. The first one is the fiscal impact to the Department of Corrections for incarceration costs for both bills. Most of it is in 907. Most of these costs come from increasing the crime seriousness from level 4 to 8 for manufacturing of meth and associated crimes in that. I will state that if you have questions about certain portions of the policy bill, judiciary staff, as well as Senator Burdick, is here to respond to those questions. So that fiscal impact is just under $1.5 million. $900,000 is allocated for the Department of Corrections for housing and post-release treatment for offenders released from their alternative incarceration addiction programs. If you remember the discussion with the Department of Corrections, this was a program that is at Powder River in Baker, as well as for the women at Coffee Creek in Wilsonville. It was a program that provides transitional release opportunities for the participants that, for lack of a better term, graduate from the program for, I believe it's up to 90 days of early release. There are $550,000 for Department of Justice for two attorneys and one investigator phased in during the biennium to generally to assist district attorneys and law enforcement agencies in prosecution of meth-related crimes. There's $450,000 as to the Public Defense Services Commission for the anticipated increase in their need to defend for indigent defense purposes. Then in the other companion House bills, there is $942,000 to provide continued funding for four drug courts in Marion, Multnomah, Benton, and Mulhear counties that were slated to lose their federal funds starting a few days ago. This would provide funding through 0507. There is $40,000 for the Department of Ag costs for some provisions in 2485. There is just under $90,000 in the Oregon State Police for additional demand for forensics lab work from relating to the provisions in the bill. There is $2.5 million allocated as a special appropriation, special purpose appropriation of the Emergency Board for a new drug court grant program administered through the Criminal Justice Commission. They would have to, before this money is released, the commission would have to come back to the first to the Judiciary Committee and then to the Emergency Board to receive that funding after sort of laying out what the requirements are, the eligibility requirements, progress on performance measures, and a number of other factors with that. There will be some budget notes attached to House Bill 2485 or 5174 relating to that grant program. And finally, there is a position in the Criminal Justice Commission to operate the grant, to administer the grant program, as well as to help put various performance measures and the other activities relating to the evaluation of drug courts. And that totals just a shade over $7.1 million, Madam Chair. If you would like more information on the bill, in terms of the policy bill and the policy item from Senate Bill 907, it would be good to ask either Judiciary staff or Senator Burdick.
What I would like to do is ask Senator Burdick to please come forward. We definitely want to get your comments, Senator Burdick, onto the record. Please come forward and bring anyone that you'd like to join you. Just acknowledging first how hard you have worked, Senator Burdick, collaboratively with Senator Beyer, Representatives Krieger and McPherson, long, hard hours, a remarkable collaboration and a remarkable product. And again, we would appreciate any comments that you want to put on to the record so that we have the best possible understanding of what is intended by through this package.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Jenny Burdick. I represent the people of Senate District 18 in Portland, Tigard, and King City. And sitting with me is Heidi Moad from the Judiciary staff, who is our lead staffer on this MEP package. And behind me, if we need him, is Joe O'Leary, also from the Judiciary staff, who attended all the meetings and provide wonderful insight, especially on some of the criminal code aspects of the bills. Basically, and I was very pleased to hear Mr. Wilson's summary where he actually talked about both bills, because it's impossible to talk about this package as just one bill or another. The separation into two bills was somewhat arbitrary, and basically the package consists of both bills. They fit together. These bills have three main purposes. We have enhanced the penalties for the worst of the worst people involved in the meth problem in Oregon, particularly the people who cook meth in their homes or in other locations, threatening children and vulnerable elderly in many cases. And are a tremendous cost to our society and a tremendous tragedy for the people who are involved in that, not to mention the mess that needs to be cleaned up when they're caught. Secondly, we wanted to cut off the supply to the extent we possibly could of the precursor drugs that are used to make methamphetamine. And those drugs are known as pseudoephedrins, and they appear in many cold and sinus and congestion products. We're all familiar with Sudafed and some of the other products. We have dealt with that issue by requiring prescription for those drugs, and we're currently in the midst of an information campaign to let the cold sufferers of the world know that they will still have immediate relief without a prescription for their cold symptoms. They will have a different active ingredient in some of their products, but there will still be very easy availability for people who suffer these symptoms. So that's purpose number two, is to cut off the supply. We heard testimony that 75% of the pseudoephedrine is sold in Oregon goes onto the illicit market. That means meth. Only 25% is used for people who actually are suffering from colds and buy it legally. So that kind of summarizes the second part. The third part, and we felt as a work group, probably the most important part, they're all important, but is to provide treatment for people who are suffering from meth addiction and people whose addiction is causing them to commit crimes. This treatment appears in all the venues. We provide for encourage alternative incarceration programs in the prisons, which have been very effective in actually shortening people's sentences if they complete successful drug treatment. Probationers who are like just guilty of possession of drugs, perhaps the lower level people, benefit tremendously from drug courts. And then the drug treatment programs in the prison themselves are also an important component of this package. So you've got three things: cut off the supply, provide treatment, and enhance the penalties for the very worst offenders. And that is our package. I was the meth work group met yesterday to look over these budget figures that you have in front of you, and I want to thank the staff and the members of this committee for doing an incredible job of focusing the resources appropriately to where we feel they can do the most good in implementing this package. It's really a very nice piece of work. I know we don't have all the money in the world to throw at this. I feel you've done a fabulous job of directing the resources where they'll do the most good. And I would be happy to answer any questions and happy to refer any questions to Ms. Moad here or Mr. O'Leary in back of me.
I do have one question for Mr. Wilson, and then I'd like to go to Senator Winters and then Senator Devlin. Where is House Bill 2485 in the process?
Madam Chair, it is expected to be heard in our House Public Safety or Human Services Public Safety Committee on Friday morning. So that's it's trying to move along at the same rate as these bills are.
Okay, very good. And I'm just going to fast forward and ask this question of Senator Burdick. Would you like to carry the bills?
Madam Chair, I would be honored.
All right. All right, we'll make sure that that gets noted for the record.
And so, Madam Chair, I would also like to say something I should have said at the beginning, which is that Senator Beyer sends his regrets for not being able to be here. We were both planning to be here. The meth work group worked very closely at every step of the way, and he very much would have liked to be in here as well.
I really appreciate you saying this because this truly has been, as you have pointed out several steps along the way this session, this truly has been a bipartisan effort. That's to the credit of the institution, but most definitely to all of your leadership. And again, we want to acknowledge that and honor that. Senator Winters?
Well, you know, I'm going to just about be in tears. I want to thank Senator Burdick and Byers and Krieger and McPherson. Those of you who know me know that I've been talking about getting some solutions to our meth issues since 1999. And to come together and to build this package. And I know how difficult sometimes it is in this building to get bipartisanship and to sit down and to work together to address an issue that has been as pervasive as this one. And I too want to echo the words of Senator Boardley, of the work that's being done both in the House and the Senate to address what I consider has been a severe crisis in Oregon. It's kind of like if you're in this building and you eat, sleep, and drink something, sometimes it really does happen out at the end of the tunnel. And I know that there's individuals who are sitting there in the office, in the audience, who join in my comments. Former legislator Max Williams, who, when we talked about this issue, was with me in 99, and I know the department people and those of you who were in criminal justice, and I just want to give you a great big thank you from my heart for your hard work, and that you proved that this building in Oregon, that we can not only break bread together, but we can reason together and come up with a package that is beneficial for Oregonians. And I truly want to thank you, Senator Burdick.
Thank you very much, Senator Winters. And I will point out to the committee that our process was to take all the bills. We had nearly 40 bills, and many of them had Senator Winters' name on them. So you have been very diligent in helping put together this package.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would actually concur with all of my colleagues' comments, including the praise for the members of the work group. The only thing that I would ask, and it's not actually in the bill and it doesn't need to be in the bill, I would assume that if there will be an interim either Judiciary Committee or Joint Judiciary Committee. And there will be other groups, and I can see the governor's representative here, and I would hope that there would be some analysis of the results from this package to present to the next legislative session, because assuredly you're not going to be able to address this issue in a single biennium, but knowing what works and what doesn't work is going to be very beneficial in consideration of the next public safety budgets that we have to consider in the next biennium. And money is probably going to be as tight or tighter in that biennium than it is in this biennium.
Very good.
Senator Burley,
yes.
So that in looking at the dollar figures for the meth initiative, so that someone doesn't think that kids and children are left out there in other parts of the human services budget. I just need to put that on the record because there isn't a line item in this budget that deals with families and children. And I know that is the intent of this legislative body when we talk treatment, that we're not leaving that population out of the treatment mix as well.
And I would also want to point out that we are not just talking treatment, we are talking prevention. And for some of the people who might have to go through a little bit more inconvenience to get a cold medicine, I think we need to keep in mind that there is some little baby out there who might not have to grow up impaired because of the decision that we make as individuals to go to a little extra trouble.
I think we, as you speak, I'm sure we all have a picture in our minds of the little baby who wandered away from home recently and wound up near a dangerous highway, a little baby in diapers. So, you know, as you speak, you certainly do feel the sense of urgency as well. Senator Devlin?
This is a minor comment, Madam Chair. But I do think that, while I do recognize that the prescription is going to present some difficulty for some Oregonians, I do think that you can get cooperation from the medical community and that this will not be as great a problem as people think it might be. I'm using my own personal example. Years ago, I used to suffer repeatedly from various sinus infections, but now through the wonders of pharmaceuticals, I've done very well for a number of years. But when those pharmaceuticals were not available, I basically had a standing order with my physician that basically said all I had to do was call, and they would do the refills as many as I needed, because it was something that I'd lived with for years. And I think people that do have repeated problems will develop relationships. I do know that there's some Oregonians that are going to have a few difficulties with this, but I think that the merits of restricting these items probably far outweighs the cost of those difficulties that it's going to present for some Oregonians.
And there are effective, very effective alternatives available. I question personally the head of the Oregon Pharmacy Board, and I said, what happens on the ground? He said, people come into the drugstore, and some of these are behind the counter now. He said, they don't want to mess with behind the counter, so they go to the shelf and they pick something out, Sudafed PE most likely, because that's the alternative that's out there. And they walk out with it. No prescription, no behind the counter. I said, well, has anyone ever come back and said it didn't work? And he said, not once. So the alternatives are there. The alternative, more alternatives will be there within months. We're dealing with a very nimble, flexible industry in the pharmaceuticals. They will be out with very good alternatives that don't kill our children.
Yes. I also want to acknowledge Heidi Moad and Joe O'Leary. Your work behind the scenes and in front of the scenes has really been phenomenal. And again, thank you so much for your efforts in putting this package together as well. I believe we're ready we are in work session. Senator Winters?
I want to make sure, before we move too quickly there, I'm assuming you're working on Senate Bill 907.
That's
first.
That's correct.
On page 2, there are sort of some steps that need to be taken, but the last page of your packet is an amendment, and which mostly is technical in nature. It has been discussed with the work group, and if there are questions, I think Heidi can help out the most on that. But it needs to be put on the bill to keep it moving.
All right.
Madam Chair, I move that's the item on that we amend Senate Bill 907 with Senate Bill 907-6A to incorporate the changes suggested by the work group.
Senator Winters has moved that we amend Senate Bill 907 with Senate Bill 907-A6 to incorporate the changes suggested by the work group. Discussion? Objection? adopted. Senator Winters?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 907 as amended to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Winters has moved Senate Bill 907 as amended to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Adopted. And
Madam Chair, again,
yes.
On Senate Bill 5630, mm-hmm. on your memo are the four items that are the dollar figures that go into the companion bill to Senate Bill 907. The other budget items go into the companion bill for House Bill 2485. But the items here are the funding for the Department of Corrections for the impact of some of the changes in the creating of the crimes or modifying the crimes relating to meth and the other factor or other issues in the bill. And I should note on number one there that where it has a roughly $1.5 million general fund impact in 0507, it does roll up to roughly $4 million in 07-09. So there is a significant roll-up cost in the next biennium for issue number one. Number two are the $900,000 for the transitional housing and substance abuse treatment for participants coming out of the alternative incarceration programs. There's $550,087 for the Department of Justice for assisting district attorneys and law enforcement agencies, and finally $450,000 general fund for the Public Defense Services Commission.
Senator Winters, if you'll hold on one moment. Mr. Wilson, you note here that there are no budget notes at this time for the bill, but there are two budget notes relating to the drug court language in House Bill 2485. And that language is what?
The two budget notes will deal in the drug court related would be first instructing the agency to come back to judiciary committees in the interim, and then to the emergency board to access the special purpose appropriation that will be in the companion to 2485. And the second budget note deals with the expectations around performance measures for the drug court program.
All right, very good. Senator Winters?
Madam Chair, I move the amend Senate Bill 5630 with the conceptual amendment outlined above, providing funding to the specific agencies.
Senator Winters has moved amending Senate Bill 5630 with the conceptual amendment outlined above, providing funding to the specific agencies. Discussion? Objection? Adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 5630 as amended to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Winters has moved Senate Bill 5630 as amended to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion or objection? Adopted. And again, for the record, Senator Burdick will be carrying the measures. Did you wish Senator Beyer to join you in co-carrying the measures?
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay, good. Great. Thank you. Okay. Okay, are we anything else?
We need a full committee carrier.
Okay. We'll do that. Okay. With budget. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Good work. Good product. Thank you very much. Is there anything else, Mr. Wilson, for the good of the order?
Not today that I know of.
All right.
On the agenda for tomorrow?
Not that I know of at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for an excellent meeting.
And we are adjourned.